Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This guy used to be in Congress. And he says to me and has said to me, I don't know why anybody would want that job. I said to him, I kind of agree with you, Governor. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm pretty energetic. I like to get things done, focus on problems, solve the problems, deliver those to the people that hired you, your bosses, the citizens. And there's a lot of deadlock in Washington. And then I thought more about that. And I thought, if every person with the same energy, the same love, the respect for our founding principles, the ideals on which this country was built on, if every person like that with that personality said, I don't think I'd like serving in Congress, then we'd never change that culture. And so you're probably right. I probably won't like it. But I'm ready to show up and fight for this nation and fight for President Trump to deliver the American First agenda on day one.
So Florida AG Ashley Moody is going to be replacing Marco Rubio. That was announced today. Honestly, I thought this was going to be his pick from the get-go. So I'm not really surprised by it because she's a good pick. I mean, she's a fifth generation Floridian. So she knows, I think it's really important that she knows what Florida was like before the red wave. And she was integral to helping to make Florida a red wave. Did you know? And I literally was today years old. I didn't know this. She got more raw vote totals in the more than any other statewide elected official in Florida. So she's super popular in the state of Florida. And this is a really good pick by DeSantis. And one that I kind of thought, you know, well, and the reason I was kind of suspecting him was might be her is because that's who I would pick. If I were him, I would pick her because she's a good lawmaker and she's a good state AG. And I think that she's going to be a good senator. So I love the fact because golly, they're getting this done quick, aren't they? Yeah, they are. He's trying to do everything he can in that state to hit the ground running because I think DeSantis more than any other governor in the country understands that you have, and by you, I mean like all, especially really just elected officials, they have 6 months. And so he's going to have to do a lot statewide to prepare for that and get as much done as possible and help, you know, the federal government in that way, that supplementation, while Trump is, you know, he's going to be wrangling. He's going to be dealing with, it's like herding cats. He's going to be dealing with all these lawmakers. And, you know, as soon as it gets close to midterms, you know, these people are going to, they're going to be terrified. They're not going to want to actually legislate, you know, conservatively, and they're going to run center. So he's trying to do everything possible to get to the point of being a good supplement for the administration, the incoming administration. Oh my gosh, we got to talk about the outgoing administration. Yeah. All right. So where do we even start with this? First off, welcome to the show. Dana Loesch with you here. And we are at the top of our very first hour. And I'm pulling up a couple of things because Biden gave his last address last night. And I didn't watch it live as it happened because I had a lot of stuff going on. But I did watch it later. I didn't want to, but I figured that he was going to be bitter and petty up until the very end. And guess what? He was bitter and petty up till the very end. I was right. I was right again. We've got some audio of him because Audio soundbite 5 was just chef's kiss. Listen to some of this stuff. Whew.
Americans are being buried under an avalanche of misinformation and disinformation, enabling the abuse of power. The free press is crumbling. Editors are disappearing. Social media is giving up on fact-checking. The truth is smothered by lies told for power and for profit. We must hold the social platforms accountable to protect our children, our families, and our very democracy from the abuse of power.
So he's upset because social media is not going to... Remember, this is the same administration that was working with... What am I talking about? Trying to force these companies to engage in censorship. Remember that. I mean, they were trying to get them to engage in censorship over things like the laptop or... the government injections, things like that. And they're mad over it. They're mad because they got caught and they got spanked and they're mad over it. And the guy, what gets me is that he's sitting here telling everyone, oh, watch out for the oligarchy. You were that. You are the oligarchy. It's like that Spider-Man meme where two Spider-Men are pointing at each other. He's that. They were the ones that were putting all the pressure on the tech bros to censor everybody. They were putting pressure on the tech billionaires, all of this. They were trying to suppress speech and persecute people who engaged in it, literally through numerous government agencies, particularly the Global Engagement Center with the State Department. And then don't forget you had the, what was it called? It's the Ministry of Disinformation, but that's not what it's called. I don't remember, really. Do I need to remember? I don't know, because it doesn't exist anymore. It was that theater kid, that annoying theater chick. Oh, my gosh. It's just wild for him to sit here and lecture everyone on, we got to watch out for the right-leaning oligarchy. You were it. You were it. I mean, his party is literally funded by a super sketchy network of billionaires and dark money. I don't know. So he's out. He's, you know, that was his swan song. Bitter, petty, completely tone deaf, right until the very end. I mean, it's just, and he's warned, he said that, he said dangerous concentration of power in the hands of very few wealthy elite. He engaged in some class warfare. That's right before he was talking about the oligarchy. He was saying the dangerous consequences if their abuse of power is left unchecked. So the left believes that the abuse of power is not doing what they demand that you do. So really, it's an exercise of free will. And they think an exercise of free will, something that God grants you, but Democrats won't because it's a cult, that it's somehow dangerous, and it is an abuse of power to exercise your free will. Who are the people? And he mentioned, he was talking about the dangerous concentration of power in the hands of very few ultra wealthy people. I mean, obviously, he's talking about Musk. But I mean, let's not forget, he was successful in pressuring Zuckerberg, right? He was successful. They actually were pressuring Twitter, and Twitter was going along with it until Musk purchased it. Right up until the day that Musk purchased it and walked in literally with the sink, they were working in tandem with the administration in terms of suppression, etc. So he's giving an address for him, for his party, that he should ultimately follow. Oh, my gosh. And then he talked. I mean, I have so many cuts. We have so much audio and I have so many cuts of this like this. This is audio soundbite 7. This is where he's talking about Musk. And he loved Twitter until Musk bought it. Listen.
That's why my farewell address tonight, I want to warn the country of some things that give me great concern. This is a dangerous concentration, and that's the dangerous concentration of power in the hands of a very few ultra wealthy people. The dangerous consequences if their abuse of power is left unchecked. Today, an oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power, and influence that literally threatens our entire democracy, our basic rights and freedoms, and a fair shot for everyone to get ahead.
A fair shot. No, he's not talking about fair opportunity. He's talking about fair outcome. Again, the oligarchy is you, dude. The oligarchy is you. And he also touched on banning members of Congress from trading stock. But this, I thought, another bit of irony. And this is my last chance to dissect a Biden in office speech. So bear with me. Audio soundbite 9. Listen.
We must reform the tax code. Polish not it. By giving the biggest tax cuts to billionaires, but by making them begin to pay their fair share.
Okay, stop for a minute. I'm not going to be able to do that. You know why they pay more? You know, first off, they pay exactly what they're supposed to pay. And if there are loopholes, do you know how they get? They use the loopholes that the Bidens use. They use the loopholes that Barack Obama used. I mean, there was at one point where Barack Obama was paying less in taxes than I was because he's able to use the loopholes that, you know, folks in business and all these other, if you have organizations and all this that you're able to use. You guys created that when you put up this stupid rat ass system that forces everyone to give their income to a godless thug government. It's a thugocracy is what we have a republic, but a thugocracy in it. So don't sit here and get mad if somebody uses the pathways that you built for them and takes advantage of it to lower their tax burden, their extortion burden. Just, I'm sorry, you can go ahead and play the rest of it. I wasn't going to get through.
We must reform the tax code, not by giving the biggest tax cuts to billionaires, but by making them begin to pay their fair share.
They pay everybody's
fair share. We need to get dark money. That's that hidden funding behind too many campaigns.
Yours.
We need to get it out of our politics.
Literally yours.
We need to enact an 18-year time limit, term limit, time and term. For the strongest ethics reform and the strongest ethics reform for Supreme Court. We need to ban members of Congress from trading stock while they're in the Congress.
Can he talk?
We need to amend the Constitution.
Jiminy Christmas. Somebody said that they blacked out the windows so you couldn't tell it was pre-taped.
Yep.
I mean, and they were zooming in on it and they're like, this is clearly construction paper that is blacking out. It was like all Zapruder level analysis telling you. He's not going to go quietly into this good night. He's going to rage against it. Rage against it. Now, coming up, we got to get into this Hamas deal because I'm of two minds on it. And I think that some people are erroneously assuming that it means the end of hostilities, which it doesn't. It's just a temporary ceasefire and the trading of some of the hostages. And I don't even know. Apparently, none of the Americans are amongst the hostages that are being traded. So all the Americans are still held hostage by Hamas. And we better not spend one damn dime to rebuild Gaza, especially after they got it as a welfare gift from Israel, who gave them literally everything. And then they elected a thug government, and the thug government decided to go out and do terrorist thug stuff with all everybody's resources. So, no, we don't owe them anything. We're going to dive into all of that and more. We also, just heads up, we also have some of the latest with the cabinet, the appointments, the confirmations, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to get into all of that. It's our friends over at Tax Network USA. The government theft agency, commonly known as the IRS, has been sending up payout notices, these payout notices already for 2025. And if you're dealing with back taxes or you got a tax debt, you need to call the folks at Tax Network USA. They are the nation's top tax relief experts. They've secured over $1 billion in tax relief for their clients. And they can help you. Doesn't matter if you have $10,000 or $10 million, if you're an individual or a business. They understand that the IRS can be super aggressive, and it can be really risky and stressful to handle this stuff on your own. So protect your financial security with professional guidance from Tax Network USA's experts. They know how to navigate the system. They save their clients over $1 billion, and they can help you as well. They can also help you with payments, hardship programs. They offer in-compromise solutions for lump sum settlements. They're here to help. Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana. That's tnusa.com/Dana. Call Tax Network USA, get their support, and take charge of your financial future today.
Not only does Trump need an eraser, he needs a lot of them. From banning gas water heaters and banning areas for drilling oil, Biden's claims for a smooth transition were nonsensical. Trump needs to start from scratch.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling Essential Prenatal Multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I'm living my brat life today. I don't know why, but I feel real brat. I hate the English language right now. Anyway, so everything's going to be tinged with that. I'm setting you up for this headline real quick because it's not on my list. Nancy Pelosi is going to skip the Trump inauguration ceremony, and so is Michelle Obama. Now, I was told stuff like this is ignorant, sexist, racist, bigoted, whatever, xenophobic. So that rule stands. It stands. I'm not letting it go. So you guys are all ignorant. How dare you skip? I guess you hate America. You're spitting on the graves of our dead patriotic forefathers. You hate everything about, you hate Eagles. You hate baseball. You hate apple pie. Show up. You don't get any passes. It's the rules. Dems de rules. Oh, here's a sports ball headline. I don't even know what this means. I know who Jerry Jones is because it's required before you're allowed to come to Texas. So he is looking to hire Deion Sanders? Really? I know who Deion Sanders is. Do I get a cookie for that? I know all the, I know that guy.
I am impressed.
Only because he was in a lot of advertising when I was a kid. That's why I know Deion Sanders. He had some really good, sponsorship deals. So anyway, it is, could there be a Deion Sanders? Is it going to matter?
There's a conspiracy. Conspiracy theory behind this that he's going to draft his son Shador anyway for it to be quarterback instead of.
But is he like that good? Can he carry the team?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Then let it happen. You know, maybe I can wear like some Dallas Cowboys stuff and not get, you know, defecated on by everybody else who follows some other team in the league. All right, PlayStation is adding smell to its games. I would imagine a game lobby smells like dirty feet, urine, and stale Doritos. So maybe that's what they're adding into this. That smell from a game lobby. Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, do you really want to be able to smell your way through the horrible title called The Last of Us? Really? Is that something you want to do? All of the things, like, I don't know, maybe they could have things to be more streamlined or work without glitches or things like that, you know? But no, it's going to be smell. They're adding the smells. Is it going to make you play better? No, no. It actually might make you play worse, but they're adding smells. The budget deficit rose in December. Yay, government spending. Let's just spend us all into forever servitude and death. It's now 40% higher than it was a year ago. But I was told that that old crusty man is leaving the new president a wonderful economy. Tell that to everybody. He's got to lock up everything from tampons to deodorants in their local Target. People were stumped because somebody's leaving tomatoes on a bridge in Ireland in a bizarre trend, and they can't figure out why, because apparently they don't have things called cameras in Dublin, and they can't figure out how to find out why. Also, let's see here. GoFundMe, it's also turning into a national archive of LA wildfire horror stories. It's kind of sad. And then I got a headline coming up in our next headline segment about ancient treasure. Yay! Stay with us. We got updates on that Hamas deal. It's our friends over at ReadyWise. They're always ready, even if you're not. And ReadyWise is security and simplicity. To have survival food, it doesn't have to taste horrible. You can have great tasting survival food. You can get that with ReadyWise. They have an in-house team of culinary experts that make sure that every single thing you purchase meets the nutritional requirements so that you're getting the good calories, you're getting, you know, all your caloric needs met, the good carbs, protein, everything that you need to maintain energy and get you through whatever's got us sideways. It's also great to go out camping. I love the story. My grandpa would equip his camper. He would go out in the woods for like days and go hunting. He would eat Spam and my grandma's sweet sun tea. That's all the man ate. I would imagine that he would like this so much better to go out hunting with than Spam. Although the sun tea is real good too. This is great though. You can have solo meals, ideal for groups. It's comfort in a crisis and beyond. And they have product choices to meet every budget. You're not going to get any better quality survival food on the market. And these are all U.S. ingredients packed in a U.S. plant and sent to your home. You know the chain of command for your food when it counts. So visit ReadyWise.com. Use promo code Dana20 at checkout and get 20% off of your entire purchase. ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you like true crime, you'll love the Miracle Files podcast. We share real stories with the suspense of true crime, but we'll leave you with a sense of light and hope. Like the college wrestler who fought a grizzly, the woman who was dead for nearly an hour, or the child lost in a dark mine for days. These are the kind of stories that remind us miracles are real.
Subscribe to The Miracle Files wherever you get your podcasts and join us on this thrilling journey of faith and miracles.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, this L7 track is a mood right now. It's just such a mood. It's just my spirit animal. Welcome back to the program. It's L7's Shove, by the way, which is a really nice 90s track. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this first hour. It sets the stage for this next topic, too. I want to go right to audio soundbite 4, Jackie Heinrich, who asked Joe Biden, who's getting credit for this hostage deal? Is it you or is it Trump? Listen.
Thank you.
Who gets credit for this, Mr. President, you or Trump?
And he walks away. Oh, no. What?
Is that a joke? Oh, thank you.
Is that a joke? Yeah. It's like, oh, it's, no, I'm not. He says that audio soundbite 6, that it was him. Listen.
After 8 months of nonstop negotiation, by my administration, a ceasefire and a hostage deal has been reached by Israel and Hamas, the elements of which I laid out in great detail in May of this year. This plan was developed and negotiated by my team, and it will be largely implemented by the incoming administration. That's why I told my team to keep the incoming administration fully informed, because that's how it should be, working together as Americans.
Well, that deal's probably not going to happen. Now the Hamas is like, well, wait a minute. We had a chance to not, you know, to stop being thug terrorists, but now we're going to go and mess around some more. So everybody was like falling over themselves to take advantage of credit for this deal yesterday. And remember, I told you that it hadn't been given any kind of final approval because Israel was still looking it over. And then they had to send it through their cabinet and all of this stuff. And Hamas always does this. They always just defecate in the punch bowl in the last hour. And that's no different. They did it with the same thing. I mean, I think the deal is weird, if I'm being honest with you about it. Because I don't know why we're giving them back anybody. I get it that people are trying to get these hostages out, but I really think that, I mean, first off, if you're giving them, go ahead, fine, go ahead and give them their hostages and then wait till you have all of yours and then blow them all up. You know, they're all going to be concentrated in one spot, right? Like, just blow them all up. Just blow them all to hell. Just do it. But this isn't going to happen. I mean, Hamas, every single ceasefire has been broken by Hamas. Every single deal has been broken by Hamas without exception. I don't know why anyone thought this was going to be any different. This is why I was like, I'm not going to just sit here and speculate yesterday about everything that this deal means, because it's probably not going to happen. And Israel was even saying that, well, you know, there's some things in here that we have to kind of straighten out a little bit. So this isn't, Hamas never negotiates a single thing in good faith, ever. Ever. There is no gesture of goodwill. There is no good faith. None of it. I mean, it's great if they're able to get some of these hostages back. And I hope so at some point. Apparently, none of the Americans were listed amongst them. I don't know if you guys were following any of that, but apparently they weren't listed among some of those that were going to be released. So I don't know. I think that Hamas, especially after watching all of this, that there was no serious way, or no, there was no seriousness about this. They were not approaching this in a serious fashion. And this is, from what I understand, wasn't this the deal that they were trying to get back in May, that Hamas wanted in May?
Yeah, actually.
I think this is the deal that they wanted in May, because it called for 33 living hostages, and then Hamas changed the deal to say alive or bodies.
That's true.
I think that for every hostage that's dead, anybody in Israeli custody from Hamas should be killed also. Body for body. In fact, make it a 2-for-1. Yeah. I'm just tired of pretending that we have to, acting like we have to be civil to these barbarians, and that's an insult to barbarians. Acting like we have to be civil to these demons is a formality that I don't have the patience for. I'm tired of it. Because these thugs thrive on the indulgence of your patience. They thrive on the indulgence of your understanding. They thrive on the formality of civility in a civilization that has lost it in everything but theater. So I don't know why we're entertaining this. I mean, maybe there's a reason, but I, you know, couldn't explain to you what it is. And I realize, too, the families want to get back their family members, their loved ones. I understand that. This deal, though, it's pretty much the same deal. I don't know. It seems like it's the same deal. Now, I will say that it's for some of the hostages, not all, and it's not a permanent end to hostilities. It's only temporary. And that's pretty much it. Pretty much it. And I don't know. We'll see. But the thing, it's sad. There were apparently still seven. There were seven Americans that were being held. Only three are still alive, apparently. Of the seven Americans that are being held in Gaza, only three are still alive. And apparently, I don't know, the deal that was being negotiated, which was pretty much the May deal, they were saying that they may release the Americans, but it wasn't guaranteed. I don't know how that's a thing. And that they said no prisoners could be exchanged for Americans. They had to be handed over without conditions, etc. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see how this goes. Now, Lorraine says, well, the deal might be back on because there's a last, they're trying to resolve this last minute crisis. Never underestimate Hamas's ability to screw it up again, though. But it is really ultimately it's just this deal again. So we've done all of this for the May deal. I don't know. It's frustrating, but at the same time, it is very difficult when you know that people are wanting their family members back. And it's a lot easier for all of us to say it, you know, but the deal's never going to be great because you're always trading innocence for terrorists. You're trading innocent people who were kidnapped through no fault of their own, and you're trading them for terrorists. So immediately, just starting out, it sucks. It's not the best. And Hamas wants to remain in control. So any deal about ending hostilities, they're going to demand that, and they should never get it. Hamas just has to be destroyed. But here's the problem. You can't just destroy Hamas because the Gazans elected them. They put them in power. They love Hamas. Gazans love Hamas. That's why poll after poll that's actually been taken, not just by international European media agencies, but even those on the ground that not necessarily are Hamas run, they have overwhelming popularity in Gaza to the point where they were going to win the next election. And they were also going to take control in West Bank because they were so popular. They were more popular than any other. So you can remove their terrorist government, but you're going to get more terrorists running it. It can't be independent. It's a threat. And when you have generation after generation of people raised to think that blowing themselves up in the name of whatever God they worship, that's a religious war. That's not something you're going to solve with policy or a regime change. That is a deep generational psychological wound. And you're not going to be able to paper over it with policy and regulation. So that's why it can't ever be independent. It just needs to be part of Israel. And they had their chance. They got this strip of land, handed it to them like glorified welfare recipients. all these welfare, there are a bunch of welfare recipients in Gaza with a terrorist thug government. They handed over this strip of land that had all the infrastructure. It's like getting a free home that's fully furnished. It's exactly what they got. And they had groceries in the fridge, fresh food in the fridge, a stocked pantry. That's exactly what they got. They got the greenhouses. They got all the irrigation. They got the water plants, the sewage, all of everything. Absolutely everything. Homes, farms, all of it. Schools, hospitals. They were just given it. And Israel unilaterally withdrew. I don't give a rat's ass what your backwoods, cousin-loving, incestual product of logic tells you out there about, oh, Israel and the Jews and whatever. I don't give a rat's ass. If you can't acknowledge the basic fact that that strip was given to them like a fully furnished home, get out. People who can't even acknowledge that are too stupid to exist on this earth, in my opinion. Now, because they don't believe anything. They're like the people who think that the earth is flat. I have zero. I'm so tired of pretending to be nice for this stuff. You have 7 Americans over there. 3 of them are living because these terrorist thugs killed everybody else. And you got these simps out there. Oh, but Hamas and Gaza. Simp, 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 simp. You got those people out there kissing the ass of these terrorists, making arguments on behalf of these terrorists. For what? Forgive my Portuguese. I'm not Dora the Explorer. I'm not raising y'all's kids. So what? What are we getting? Israel wanted the ability to eliminate threats. They wanted to get back as many of the hostages as possible. And they wanted to I think that they need to maintain control of Gaza. They didn't demand it. That's what Hamas has demanded. Hamas doesn't care anything else about its own people. So that's why I don't care whenever I see a headline about destruction in Gaza, because Gazans don't care about Gazans. So why should they demand everyone else care more than they do? Quit electing terrorists, you terrorists. Super easy. Dana, you're so mean. No, I'm a realist. Some people you just cannot coexist with. That's a stupid sticker brought on by people too dumb for geopolitical issues. So I don't know. Hamas can't stay in control. That's the thing. So there's not going to be any kind of permanent, you know, and Israel has to do its best for Israel. But we have 3 Americans living still that are over there. Is it America first to push for their release? Or are we going to sacrifice those 3 Americans at the altar of placating Hamas? I mean, how many Americans have we sacrificed at the altar of placating Hamas over the years? How many American soldiers have we had blown up placating the Iran stooge in Gaza? Just curious. Does anybody have an answer?
Too many.
Yeah, too many. So we'll see. But might be back on. We'll see. But there's not going to be any single kind of deal, a permanent agreement to end hostilities. It can't with Hamas being in charge still. It's just not something that can happen. We'll talk about this here coming up. Hunter Biden, his beautiful artworks, Kane. Have you heard about this? Hunter Biden's beautiful spit coke art that's worth millions and millions of dollars. A lot of it was destroyed in the LA fires. Oh, really? We'll talk about that coming up. With everything going on in the world right now, the economy, conflicts, the open border, spiraling national debt, the devastating inflation, it's critical that you have a plan for diversifying and protecting your savings. And that's why so many, including myself, have turned to precious metals like gold and silver to help protect our savings. And I've partnered with the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, to make that happen. It's a great company with a great reputation, and they could not have made the process any easier. And right now, Goldco is offering a free gold and silver kit that will show you how precious metals can help protect and diversify your savings. And for my audience, they're offering up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver on qualified orders. All you have to do is visit danalikesgold.com to get started today. Goldco has helped thousands of Americans place over $3 billion in gold and silver, and they can help you as well. Join thousands who trust Goldco. Visit danalikesgold.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Democrats resort to ridiculous and unconvincing tactics to try to derail Pete Hegseth's nomination as defense secretary. The special counsel blasts Joe Biden for maligning the Justice Department's handling of the Hunter Biden case. And the president says illegal border crossings went way down when he took office. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day, and hopefully a lot of laughs, too. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
The American people have gone through a lot in these 4 years, and so we understand that it's going to take a little bit of time for them, for folks to see the impact that this administration has had.
Wow. Well, what impact? I mean, we've seen the impact that it's had. It hasn't been very good. You know, I mean, we've kind of seen that. We've seen how that worked out. Hasn't been great. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. That's why everybody's very, very excited for the switch. Just got to hold on till next week. The economy has to hold on till next week. Everything's got to hold on till next week. You know, one of the things that I read is that, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, Sam Altman, and Sue Chu, who's the chief executive of TikTok, are all going to be sitting up on the dais with Trump when he's sworn in as president. That's kind of interesting. Is that not?
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Is that? I don't know. I don't know. Do we want them all to be up there?
Why not?
I mean, yeah, I guess so.
I mean, they're all self-made millionaires. It's not like they were just...
Yeah, but for Zuckerberg, I mean, I just don't believe that he was unaware. If you were unaware that your employees are doing this to people and you yourself get banned and you didn't, you know, or you yourself had stuff cited and fact-checked, and that's the only thing that... I mean, you didn't hear all the people for years telling you that this was happening to them. That's why I just...
When the government comes down on you hard, like the Democrats clearly...
But it doesn't. Yeah. I mean, it's great that he's decided after it was applied to him that he needed to speak out against what his company was doing. But that doesn't mean you invite them up on the dais when you swear into office, you know?
Yeah, but I think it's more of a statement of a cultural shift. I think that you're seeing that, especially when you see a Bezos up there, like, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I mean, again, I just don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I get real weird when you get.
Yeah,
all the tech titans
be
up
cautious,
there.
And that's completely understandable. I'm with you on that.
I mean, the only entity that the only people I trust less than government are the tech titans.
Yeah.
It's just part of my American DNA. It's just not something. I don't know. But
those people were addressed just minutes ago on the in the hearing for the confirmation of the Treasury Secretary Scott.
Yeah. Wilson. Well, they're all going to be up because you know how when you grow up when the president is up there and they like when he was back came in like 2016 and you had Melania Trump and her Ralph Lauren dress. It was a very lovely dress. It was a very nice like tweed blue dress. It was a great cut. And when he's up there and he's got his hand. Everybody that's up there, you have like former presidents and their wives. You have like the Speaker of the House, you know, high standing officials, sometimes like the mega donors. Get up there and buy mega donors. I mean, millions of dollars, which sort of makes sense, I guess, for Zuck and Bezos because they've donated $1 million each to the inaugural stuff. Because you still have to raise funds to pay for all the inauguration. It's not like Britain, where whenever they have a new monarch, that taxpayers pay for it. They have to raise the funds to pay for, all the pageantry that you see. Maybe, I don't know, maybe that's why. I don't know. I'm just not...
It's a good representation of the potential in America. Like, look, this is the level of success that we're seeing in a free country, and I hope that that whole philosophy is what bleeds into these next 4 years.
I think it's hysterical that the left is so threatened by it.
I know.
And the other thing I was thinking about, too, is that not a measure of how deep leftist ideology can go? That you can switch. All these people were committed to leftist stuff, you know, that are going to be sitting up on the dais. And now they're going to be up there. They're going to be up there with Trump. They went from censoring conservatives. Now they're up on stage as he is sworn into office. Very interesting. We got a lot more on the way. Second hour. Stick with us. If you're tired of the, it's like insane. You know, like if you get sick, like for instance, over Thanksgiving, I was sick. I knew that I was getting strep throat. My throat was on fire. I knew I was sick. One of my college kids came back sick. I got sick from him. He was already on antibiotics. I've been down this road before. I know I'm sick. Do I have to go and pay an astronomical copay? That's if I can even get in, you know, to my doc. That it's a mess. And I have family coming in. I don't have time to be sick. All Family Pharma, I know exactly what I need. And they have doctors that will evaluate it digitally. And, you know, you can even do a telehealth thing with them if you want to. But they have doctors that look over your prescription, look over the medicines that you're looking at. And they sign off on it and you get it sent right to your door. And if you need it next day, which is what I did, you can actually do that as well. It's affordable access. There's no red tape and no hassle. And these are not Chinese antibiotics. I know you would think a lot of people assume that, oh, that's probably Chinese. No, no, they're all made in the USA, which is actually kind of rare. So these medications are made right here in the United States. So you know you're getting high standards of quality and safety. You don't have to worry about, you know, communist Chinese medicines. And that's what makes All Family Pharma so different from everybody else. And they empower you to take charge of your health. And they've helped thousands and thousands and thousands of patients all across the country. And again, no red tape, no hassle, fast and convenient delivery. I had azithromycin. I mean, you name it, you can get an antibiotic for it. Go to allfamilypharma.com/Dana and see everything that you can access. And use code DANA10 to get 10% off your purchase. Protect yourself and your family today. Allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Code DANA10 for 10% off.
You have said that Department of Justice prosecutors will be prosecuted in the Trump administration. What Department of Justice prosecutors will be prosecuted and why?
I said that on TV. I said prosecutors will be prosecuted, to finish the quote, if bad. Investigators will be investigated. You know, we all take an oath, Senator, to uphold the law. None of us are above the law. Let me give you a really good example of a bad lawyer within the Justice Department, a guy named Klein Smith, who altered a FISA warrant, one of the most important things we can do in this country. So will everyone be held to an equal, fair system of justice if I am the next Attorney General? Absolutely. And no one is above the law.
That's Pam Bondi from yesterday when she was going after Senator Sheldon Whitehouse and saying, Chris Kleinsmith, the guy who literally altered a FISA warrant to hide the Democrats' lies to go after Carter Page. Yeah, that's an example of a bad attorney in the DOJ. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash with you. I think Pam Bondi gets confirmed. And I think Pete Hegseth, I think that he's probably going to have the votes. Yeah, I think he'll probably end up getting confirmed. I don't think that there is... is there anybody who probably won't at this point? I don't think so.
No.
I really don't think so. Yeah, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of the second hour. And we've been going back and forth watching all of this. The Hamas deal is off the rails and it's back on. And it's like just completely back and forth nonstop. So we'll see. All we know is that nothing's confirmed, and they had a last minute crisis, and I don't know. We'll see. But I do think it's just, you know, I mean, you're releasing a lot of prisoners for a lot of terrorists. And I noticed that Netanyahu had tweeted out a thank you to Trump for it. So he acknowledged Trump, but he said nothing about Biden. And the State Department currently, Karine Jean-Pierre, was dismissing the idea that Trump or his transition team would deserve any credit. And I don't know. It's the problem, though, is, I mean, these hostages have been held, I read, like 468 days. And this is only going to be a temporary ceasefire to trade some of these hostages back. Of the seven Americans, only three are still alive. Hamas has broken every single ceasefire with Israel repeatedly. 2003, 2007, 2008. In 2014, it's like 10 or 11 times they broke it. And then when they have these ceasefires, there's always some sort of, you know, they always send terrorists over to shoot or try to blow somebody up. I mean, it just, it never ends. They never actually cease the fire. I mean, and that if you're not ceasing your firing, you can't demand that other people also cease their fire if you're not doing it. They killed 6 hostages, including 1 American citizen. And that's when IDF forces closed in. That was back last fall. And they killed him. They killed him. And it just keeps going. So they said that they had operatives guarding Israeli hostages in the buildings and tunnels of Gaza. And I don't know. There's a lot of questions, I think, including why, after all of this time, all of these months later, does it seem like we're going back to this May deal? Because it's based on the May 2024 framework. I don't know. Why does most of the press believe Hamas over everybody else? I think it's because people hate Jewish people. Can we just have a real quick talk here for a minute? What the hell? It's 2025. I think it's just because there are people who just don't like Jewish people. And then they try to mask it by saying, oh, we just don't like the Israeli government. That's a really big difference from some of the stuff that I hear from folks. Don't try to conflate it because it just makes you look dumb. I mean, I don't agree with everything that the Israeli government does. I don't agree with any government 100%. But there's a difference between policy dispute and then the dispute that's based on stereotype. That's just people just not liking, you know, like the, it's Hitlerific. People not liking, you know, just because they're Jewish. I think that's what a lot of it is. I see stuff on X all the time. And Facebook all the time. Doesn't matter, Instagram all the time. Doesn't matter who owns it. It's just there. It's a platform. And the crazy people are always the loudest. And there are people who think it's, you know, how dare you not say that? I always get tons of grief whenever I say Gazan. Oh my gosh, I get tons of grief. Well, I don't use made up terms. I don't use made up terms. That's what that strip of land is called. So I will say it's Gaza, and the people who live there are Gazans. I'm not going to make up a fictional country and act and create out of the ether a new ethnicity and pretend that it's supported by thousands of years of iniquity, because it's not. And I'm talking about the whole phrase Palestine and Palestinian. But the problem is, and Kane, I think we've had this problem since 9/11. It's not a policy or land dispute. It is literally a religious war for these people. Yeah. And you can't mitigate the consequences of that with policy. You can't fight a holy war with policy and government regulation. It's not how that works. But that's how we in the United States have approached it since Bush, without change, I think. I think there was a little bit of a difference with Trump, but I also don't think, and I know this sounds crazy, but, and I'm not saying this is an excuse. I know people do this all the time, but I'm just saying, this is just the reality of it. You're talking about generational conflict. 4 years is not going to change it, especially when you're fighting against your own government the entire time for those 4 years. But I think that was probably like the most different approach than we've seen in prior years. So it's just, it's been weird to sit and watch all of this over the decades and see how, I mean, they were asked, like, just for instance, Karine Jean-Pierre was asked yesterday, was that her final press avail? I think it was her final press avail yesterday, right?
I think so.
Yeah. She was asked about the ceasefire and the agreement and who gets credit for that, because it's a big thing with the press. The press is like, who gets credit? And she said, everyone's going to want some credit. All I can say is that the president got it done. What president? Because no one actually believes that Biden was talking to Hamas or to their reps in Qatar No one actually believes that Biden was sitting there negotiating anything with Netanyahu. Come on. Did you hear the... I mean, have you heard his audio lately? Have you heard him? It's bad. I mean, the stuff that he said yesterday, it's bad. Like, for instance, Biden, this is audio somebody 10, the fires in California and that, he says it's climate change. Listen.
Right now, the existential threat of climate change has never been clearer.
What?
Just look across the country, from California to North Carolina.
Existential threat came.
Those are the worst threats.
Again, I think he's saying these guys' names wrong. All these people that have been arrested for arson, their names are Clemente Changé. Thank you. Climate change is like a real broke way of saying it. It's the Changé family. You've heard of the Changés, haven't you, Kane?
Yeah,
and their son Clemente. Who knew that there were so many people named Clemente Changé who were setting fires in California? That's so wild. I could never have predicted that firebugs would come out. And, you know, of course, the state of California isn't going to have a plan for it. It is so much more important to spend billions of dollars enriching all the corrupt kleptocrats in government with a railway to nowhere than actually, you know, spend any money on the desalination plants or anything like that, water capture, maybe, I don't know, advocate for clearing of the brush. I don't, you guys maybe saw that photo. He put it up yesterday, Caitlyn Jenner. He had a picture of his house and he, and we've had a lot of friends posting photos on Facebook. I would share them on our simulcast, but I don't like to show people's houses and stuff. But a lot of our friends, they have been following, and this is wild, they followed in suit and they've been posting pictures of the ones who live next to either federal land or state land. And all of their properties, they're, can I be real? It looks like dirt. Like they don't really have like yards. They have like desert landscaping. There's a lot of rocks and there's like some deserty. I mean, it's a desert, you know, and they don't really have like lush, like, you know, and the ground is brown. We have friends who they live like on the side of a canyon and you can see as you're looking down the photo that they had and you can see their house in it. So I'm not showing it on the simulcast. But from their house down in the canyon to a certain part in the canyon, it is like dirt. It's just dirt. It's like not even like dead grass. It's just dirt, dirt and rocks. And then they have a fence. And then there's all of this underbrush and growth. And it goes into this canyon and you can watch it go up. It's growing on the other side of the embankment in the canyon. And so many people have been posting these pictures and they're like, this is the difference. Like what Caitlyn Jenner, what he posted yesterday. This is the difference because you have to keep your land clear cut like that if you live in a fire zone, which is most of the area there. And if you don't, you get serious fines. But they are all showing their land abutting state or federal land. And the state or federal land is just coated. And they're not allowed to remove any underbrush on that state land or federal land. Bureau of Land Management will get on your backside if you do it. And the state will fine you if you do it. But yet they are not allowed to do it. And that is actually being attributed for one of the major causes of this fire spreading so fast and blazing so hot. Because there's so much for it to consume. You know, when you look out west, and we had a guest on earlier this week that talked about this, there are significant portions of states out west that are owned by the federal government or that it is state-run land. And in California, it's no different. And so there's a lot. I can't tell you how many friends that we have who either live in a subdivision that butts up. If their property doesn't, their whole subdivision is like right next to state maintained land or federal land. And every single one of them have been saying the exact same thing. They're all going out there and like showing video and all of this. And so the neighborhoods that didn't burn, those are the or where they had like the least damage, they were extensively maintaining their land so that even if they were right up next to state land that was burning, they did everything possible to keep that fire from spreading into their neighborhood. The state of California, I don't know how they come out of this without hundreds of billions of dollars in lawsuits. I don't know. There are so many receipts. I have four stories just today, brand new reporting that get into the dereliction of duty on water capture, clearing of undergrowth within the state of California and their land and wildlife management and reservoirs. All brand new stuff. That's how bad this is. I don't see how they get through this without hundreds of billions of dollars of lawsuits. People are going to be suing the state of California because their dereliction of duty contributed to this. If it didn't cause it outright, because aren't they saying that the Palisades fire started on state land? That's one of the things that I read. They're still investigating it, but that's the theory. As we move, our partners who help bring you the program, it's the non-firearm firearm. It's the Burn-A-Gun. You can get different models. You can get one that's, you know, rifle. You can get the pistol. The Byrna SD is the most popular model. Now, what do I mean by non-firearm firearm? Well, it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away compared to, stun guns, regular stun gun. You get one or two shots. With this, you get five rounds with this. Burn-A-Gun does not care about gun-free zone signs. It does not care about waiting periods or anything like that. There's no background checks. It's illegal in all 50 states, and you can have it sent right to your door. No permit, nothing required. And it doesn't care about the gun-free zone signs. It doesn't care. I have friends who live in D.C. and in New York, and they work in professions that require them to be out at the city buildings late, and they don't want to be a statistic. And even though they have a license to carry, the areas aren't very friendly to that, or the buildings that they go to bar them from carrying. So they got the Byrna SD. That's the most popular model. You can too. Check out everything and just diversify your self-defense options. Never let anyone make you be completely, without defense. You can visit Byrna.com/Dana. That's BYRNA, Byrna.com/Dana to get 10% off of your purchase.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so you're not going to miss any of this. I wanted to get to the one that talks about the ancient treasure. So apparently, this is a huge find. I would love to find something like this. But it was buried at a nuclear plant site. They found it in the UK near, I think, Cornwall. It was in Suffolk, England. Sizewell C Nuclear Power Station. They found a bunch of old coins, like 1,000 years old, a bunch of old coins predating the Magna Carta by 200 years and the Battle of Hastings by several decades, mint condition in a lead and cloth package. And the researchers compared it to a Cornish pasty. They said that it's like a purse wrapped tightly in lead sheeting. They're in mint condition, they said. You can see every inscription onto it. It is wild. So that's a huge find. Would you love to find something like that? How fun would that be? Also, let's see. This coldest temperatures in a year are going to arrive. It's going to feel like minus 40 in some of the coldest zones. I don't like any of this at all. It needs to stop. I'm done with it. I'm ready for summer. I only have 5 seconds for winter. And it's going to be cold. Like next Monday. It's going to be like in the 20s here. No, Kane, I am not down for this life. Yeah. Nope. TikTok is preparing for a U.S. shutdown from Sunday, say sources. We're going to talk more about that here coming up. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. And our partners for the program, new to the show, they're Preborn. It's a great organization that works with women as they determine how to handle an unexpected, unplanned pregnancy. And Preborn gives women the opportunity to meet their babies, to have an ultrasound, to hear their heartbeat. And when that happens, a child's chance at life doubles. And it's a pretty amazing thing. And when you consider that abortions are actually increasing, especially with the abortion pill, it's more usually with the abortion pill than even going into these clinics. And so that's what makes Preborn's work all the more important. And they have matching grants. So when you donate, because all of this is possible because you donate and you can start, you can save a life at just $28. They have a matching grant. So your donation goes twice as far in saving lives. And in addition to the ultrasound, you're also helping Preborn partner with these women to make sure that their babies get the best start all the way up until 2 years of life. So it's pretty amazing what they do. Your donations are what power it. And it's very simple. Dial pound 250, say the keyword baby, and that's how you do it. #250, keyword baby. You can also visit preborn.com/Dana and donate online. Every contribution counts. preborn.com/Dana, #250, say the keyword baby.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, horrible news. Horrible news. Welcome back, Dana Lash. At the bottom of this second hour, David Lynch has passed away. The legendary director, writer. I think most people knew him from Eraserhead and Blue Velvet and Twin Peaks, obviously, which is how I, Mulholland Drive, Lost Highway. Oh my gosh, he's one of my favorite directors. I've seen everything that he's done. He's crazy, and I loved it. My kids are like, we do not, especially the second Twin Peaks, they're like, it's David Bowie's voice as like a machine ghost. What in the world? But he had been diagnosed with emphysema. He smoked all his life and he wasn't able to direct anymore. And then he announced that he was going to be leaving his house. His family announced on Facebook his passing. They said, quote, it is with deep regret that we, his family, announced the passing of the man and the artist, David Lynch. We would appreciate privacy. I love this. They said, there's a big hole in the world now that he's no longer with us. But as he would say, keep your eye on the donut and not on the hole. They said it's a beautiful day with golden sunshine and blue skies all the way. He has on X, he would announce that it's Friday every day or every week. Yeah. It's Friday in his, you know, his typical style. He wasn't a woke. He was not a woke scold. I think that he was actually pretty libertarian. He was not a woke scold at all. And he never got super political. He was just very practical and common sense. But he did some really crazy stuff. I mean, film noir, he was able to put together like thriller and whodunit and, you know, the film noir horror, all of it into one thing, like an amalgam. And he really, I think, defied a lot of the rules of various genres. Quentin Tarantino, these are some of my absolute favorite directors. And he did stuff as an artist too. He painted a whole bunch of stuff. Eraserhead was the first thing that he did. And it got a cult following over the years. Mulholland Drive was crazy and Lost Highway was almost impossible to follow, but it was still really well done. He just did some really great stuff. And Twin Peaks, from everything from the music to the casting to the story, as crazy down into the wormhole as you got with Twin Peaks, it still made sense and you wanted more at the end of every episode. I mean, Agent Cooper, Kyle MacLachlan played Agent Cooper brilliantly, and Sherilyn Fenn was always amazing. I mean, the way that he handled that whole series, my parents let me watch that when I was a kid, because that was like, I think I was in sixth grade when it came out, because it only ran for two seasons. And I think I was in sixth going into seventh grade, and my parents let me watch Twin Peaks and I was just riveted. And my mom let me watch whatever. And then I had to go and see everything that he did. But he worked with Mel Brooks on a film about the guy who was the Elephant Man. I can't remember the guy's name who actually was the Elephant Man. He's done all kinds of stuff. But and then Dune. Twin Peaks is the thing that he's like memed for, I think. And then Bob Uecker passed away. Like Bob, so remember my grandma's rule of three, guys. Yeah. So my grandmother, if you're just joining us, welcome back, Dana Lash with you. My grandmother has a rule with celebrity deaths. It's always in threes. God love her, rest her soul. She was a crazy morbid woman, loved her. But that was her rule. And whenever you would, if they're like, oh, so-and-so passed, like a famous person or even someone that wasn't famous that she just knew, she would go, well, that's one or that's two. Like she was heaven's, you know, she was the one keeping track for heaven. It was funny. So who you got in the death pool, man? Who's next? There's going to be a third. That's going to be a third.
It's morbid.
It's the way the world works. I don't make the rules.
To even ask that is morbid.
Bob Uecker, who, by the way, hasn't he been alive for forever?
Well, yeah.
I'm not saying this to be mean. Bob Uecker was an old man when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And he's still an old man. Was, you know, until just like now, but yeah. Wow. So who's the third? Steve, you got any ideas?
Oh man.
I hope it's not a musician. There's always the worst for me.
Yeah, musicians are bad. I mean, if they're like, these two are, I mean, I didn't follow Bob Uecker, but he always seemed good natured and he made stuff fun. But man, David Lynch, that's, gosh dang. I loved his, it's a Friday. I loved his, oh, I'm sad now. But there's got to be a third one. I don't want to like Google like for old sick celebrities, but. Yeah, who's going to die next? .com. I feel like I have to deliver everything in the for the rest of the show in a David Lynch style now. Who's going to die next? Oh, keep your eye on the donut, not the hole. That's a. I think I need to cross stitch that.
That's actually sage.
Yeah, that's sage advice. That would be, you know what, for the patch ops guys, that would be a good patch.
Yep.
Keep your eye on the donut, not the hole. That's so great. But you know that if you wear something like that at SHOT Show, everybody there is going to take it the wrong way on purpose, joyously so. You know that, right? Oh, all right. So we had a David Lynch has passed away. Variety, they announced it on Facebook and then Variety confirmed it because I don't think a lot of people were believing it. Just the famous, like one of the greats, 78 years old. And then, of course, you have Bob Uecker. And everybody, I think everybody knows who Bob Uecker is, but he's passed away. How old was Bob Uecker? He was 90, right? 90. Yeah, he was like 90 years old. But he's been around for forever. I mean, I remember him from Major League. Yes. And he's always been the same age. Well, he was born with gray hair. I'm positive that he was born like a 50-year-old man. I feel like he was, because he's never, literally never changed.
I've looked back at pictures like when you see old professional football player photos from when they were in college.
Yeah.
And they looked like they were 45 in college. Like, how does that happen?
Oh, man. So that's some of the latest. Well, gosh dang. I'm going to miss his Friday announcements. Those are the best. And I liked Bob Uecker when he was broadcasting. But he hadn't broadcast a lot, though. The last year of his life, I don't think. Last couple of years, if memory serves. All right, so a few other things to discuss. TikTok is preparing for U.S. shutdown from Sunday. I am not on TikTok. I used to be, like some years ago, I was on social media a lot. And then I just realized how much I hated looking like an influencer. And so now it is... I don't even share a lot of personal stuff. And I think that's been like that since the Parkland days. But I don't know. It's weird. So I don't do, I feel like I should probably like go back and do more stuff on social, which I probably will. I'm getting there. But I've never done TikTok. And because it's like another platform that you got to have another password and a whole other thing to monitor. And nobody's got time for that. But now it may not matter because it's going to be U.S. users from Sunday. They're going to be shut out because unless the Supreme Court moves to block it, you're going to have a ban on it. Do you think that ban's going to go through? I don't know if SCOTUS is going to block it.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Now there was one. Lorraine gave me the actual name of the app. There's no way I'm pronouncing this. There's no way. It's entirely made of consonants.
Xiaohongshu?
No, it's not.
Xiaohongshu? I think that's how you'd pronounce it.
Well, they call it Red Note, and it's supposed to translate, she says, into Little Red Book, like, you know, Mao Zedong's Little Red Book. Remember?
Right.
So, say it again.
Xiaohongshu?
I feel like right now I'm in Mighty Boosh, and I'm just going to, like, hold up my voice recorder, you know, like when Pocket Cup, you know, like things like that. Like
Xiaohongshu.
Gorilla.
Xiaohongshu.
Xiaohongshu?
Xiaohongshu.
Okay. So anytime I want to call, I'm going to point to you and you just say it.
Okay.
So like it's called Red Note, but it means
Xiaohongshu.
That's right. Which is translates to Little Red Book. It's Chinese owned though. Why are so many people excited about, we're going to go to this. It's not Chinese owned. It's Chinese owned. If it's an app that you can get on and be annoying, it's Chinese. TikTok is, you know, like if it's a bad preachy singer, they're from Canada. Like Alanis Morissette. Dana, you're so mean. Okay, so someone was telling, sorry, I don't mean to like give you whiplash, but apparently some singer, I don't know the singer, or a listener named Adrian was like, well, the third one is Peter Forrest, the original singer for 24/7 Spies with a Z. I think he's, for him, so that's his third. I don't know that guy, so he doesn't count for me. Yeah. Doesn't count for us, I don't think. So the third slot of death is still open. If you got a death pool going with Bobby Uecker and now, sadly, David Lynch. But back to the Red Note thing. Why are people so hell-bent on getting on it? Why do they have to have a substitute for TikTok? Why can't you just, you know, exist?
Yeah.
People are freaking out. They're freaking out. You're making money off of something that somebody else owns. You're using, that's, you can't make money unless you have someone else's product. That's weird to me.
I will say,
because you're not self-sufficient.
Watching,
as much as these people pretend they are, they're not.
Watching
they're,
these girl, they're, watching they're, these Gen Z girls kind of freak out on TikTok in the last few days, because I am on it, is pretty it's pretty fun to watch.
How much are they freaking out?
Oh my gosh! They're like screaming at Supreme Court justices on their feet. It's insane.
Wow. Yeah, that's something else. That is something else. Yeah, I don't know. I could never.
I thought we went down this road legally like a year ago or something.
Yeah, well, this is, well, it had to go through the courts. It's one of those things that was like working its, yeah, it was working its way through the courts. But I mean, it could be, that would be amazing, actually. I get weird when the government defends, or when the government wants to come in and deplatform or shut stuff down. But I don't know. This is not like just an app. It's a great psyop. It's very Sun Tzu to have an app that can help, that can be used by partisans and bots to drive division. And then you, because of your algorithm, amplify only the worst and most divisive, hateful stuff purposefully. That's a great way to destabilize. It's a long game, but it's a great game because you don't have to expend the resources or the lives or without firing a single shot, you know? So I think if you look at it more through a NatSec lens, that it, you know, I think that kind of makes some sense. But that's one of the things that the Supreme Court is going to have to make, you know, determine. So we'll see. But yeah, it's called Red. I'm not going to get on it. I'm not getting on it. You're not on it. You're not on TikTok, Kane, right? Yeah.
I've never been on TikTok.
Juan, you're not on TikTok, are you? Nope. I don't know why I even ask. Juan's like, that's communist and I'm not a part of it.
My youngest son is on it. He says,
not getting on that commie trash.
He says he agrees with, he's still on it because a lot of his friends are on it and they share a lot of, you know, that content. But he agrees. He's like, it's completely useless.
What was the thing before TikTok that everybody was on?
Vine.
Vine. That's right. Vine. I was on Vine.
Not me.
But I haven't used it for like 10 years. It's been a while.
I mean, that short video idea, that's the meme video. That's mm-hmm. where that all was born, I guess.
I don't know. But I'm not on it. I'm not going to get on it. Coming up, did you guys hear about the story of the cartoonist over at the Washington Post who drew some of the really most ignorant cartoons? He got arrested because he had child porn. He was in possession of, yeah, gross. We have to touch on that because of course he attacked Republicans and conservatives and defended the trans Tifa. Of course he did. So we're going to get into all of that. We got the latest with wildfires, the a lot of movements. So the AG of Florida is going to, Ashley Moody is going to be is taking over Marco Rubio's Senate seat. And James Uthmeyer is going to be the AG of Florida. Both great picks. Great, great picks. What does living better mean to you? Is it more money, a bigger house? Now think about this. What about how you feel physically every day? Life is so much better when you feel good. When you wake up feeling great, you can do more of the things that you love and you're ready to take on the day. If pain is affecting your life, see how Relief Factor can help change that. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor supports your body's response to inflammation. And it doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps to reduce or even eliminate it. And it's safe to take daily. In fact, the longer you take Relief Factor, the more effective it is. Over 1 million people have turned to Relief Factor. Feel better every day and you'll live better every day. Trying Relief Factor is easy. Get their 3-week quick start for only $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Or visit ReliefFactor.com.
Did God bless the United States of America? Pastor Alan Jackson says yes.
I believe God has blessed this nation, that he's called it into existence. It isn't perfect. There's no such thing as perfect. But we continue as we lean towards the Lord to make improvements. There is no greater expression of liberty and freedom among civilized human beings than we've seen from our own nation in the last 250 years. As imperfect as it may be, that's true.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast, on your favorite podcast app.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This is funny. A Florida man who built it's called a spite house, and there are tons of these around the country. He built the spite house that towers over his neighbors, and he's loving it. So it's this real skinny, narrow house, and he was apparently fighting with everybody else on the street. It's like the skinniest little lot you could ever see. The developer refused to sell the awkwardly sized lot to persistent neighbors. And he's 51 years old. He purchased it. This strip of land is $619,000. It's a strip of land. Strip. $619,000. That's just the land. The neighbors were really trying to buy it. He was refusing. And now he built this, you know, little skinny house. That's what it's called, the skinny house. It has 2 bedrooms. I don't know why we're showing this, because this has nothing to do with this guy. But Juan throws up like a random Florida thug.
Get ready for the next one.
I love it. The guy who got the property. I can't for the land at $619,000. So now it holds 2 bedrooms, 2.5 baths. It is literally as wide as like a single car garage. And you see the strip of land. So Juan's showing it to you on the side over here, and you can see the pool is another neighbor. The 2 pools are other neighbors. Either side of that white fence is his strip, and that little strip of $619,000 just for the land. So he wanted a 15-foot wide home. City officials wouldn't do it, so he scaled it down to 10 feet in width, and it's 19 feet tall. And it literally cast shadows over the neighbors that had fought the construction of it. And he says he loves his house. They did a really nice job, I got to say. Like, I wasn't quite sure. The yard is, like, just garbage. It's just like a little postage stamp. But, you know, he was actually able to make it work. So good for him. He persevered. A Florida cop detains a man for wearing a mask in public while exercising. And okay, now we can throw it up. Who exercises dressed like this?
Right.
Terrorists. Yeah. So they were like, okay, stop it. It's not COVID epidemic anymore. Quit. Pull the mask down. Stick with us. We got more in store. Short on this segment, but we have a whole other hour next. Our partners over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. Look, if you haven't switched to Patriot Mobile because you love paying a lot more money for your subpar cell phone service, I mean, that's your preference. If you haven't switched to Patriot Mobile because you love supporting DEI every time you pay your cell phone bill, I mean, that's also a personal preference. I mean, I don't know why you would, but it's like the easiest thing to do is to switch. The people from Patriot Mobile practically come to your home or office and do it for you. I mean, they don't, but I imagine that they would. Right now, you can get a free month of service with promo code Dana. You're getting the best coverage you can trust. They operate on all 3 major networks. You stay connected wherever you go. Seamless switching with their 100% U.S.-based customer service team. Keep your number, keep your phone, upgrade. I mean, it's whatever you want to do. It's never been simpler to switch. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Make your money support your values and not work against you. Or call 972-PATRIOT. Get that free month of service with promo code Dana. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana972-PATRIOT.
I want to be clear. We're not waiting until those fires are over to start helping the victims. We're getting them help right now, as you all know. People impacted by these fires are going to receive one-time payment of $770. One-time payment. so they can quickly purchase things like water, baby formula, and prescriptions. So far, nearly 6,000 survivors have registered to do just that, and $5.1 million has gone out.
$770. There's memes about this now. $770, a one-time payment. How much did that? That's $70 more, isn't it, than what the people in North Carolina got?
Oh, you mean in Hawaii, I think?
In Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get a one-time payment of $770, one time. And then you had Kamala Harris say, I'm reading this quote. Quote, see if this makes sense to you. It's critically important that to the extent that you can find anything that gives you an ability to be patient in this extremely dangerous and unprecedented crisis that you do. Oh. I read it verbatim.
I know you did.
That's verbatim. Oh. Be the bigger person, Dana. Welcome back. Top of our third hour, Dana Lash with you. Chats at Rumble. You can listen coast to coast. Subscribe over at Substack. He gave $500 million to Ukraine. Like a week, not even a week ago.
And that wasn't even a one-time payment.
Yeah, that's not even a one-time payment. Here, you get $500 billion, Ukraine. You get $770. That doesn't even handle like a portion of your property taxes if you're California.
How do you come up with that number, though?
You take your hand and you stick it behind you all the way down in your pants and you pull out whatever. And that's what happens.
All right.
That's where that number came from.
Had no clue.
Pulled it right out of the crevasse. That's where he got it, Kane.
Emphasis on, I get it.
So, I don't know. Maybe it would be great if they said we should cut taxes in California while everybody gets on their feet. But it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. So, $175 billion since 2022. So, it's like thousands of dollars per resident in Ukraine. I'm employing some girl math here. That's that's like that several thousand dollars per Ukrainian. $770. I'm not saying give money away. I mean, I'm very Davy Crockett about this. You know, it's not yours to give. I'm very, you know, but at the same time, these people paid a lot of money in taxes. And what are they getting out of it? Not a thing. So one of the things that I got a couple of, we've talked about the ceasefire. We were talking about some of the cabinet appointment because I think most of that is pretty much settled. I think I would be shocked if there wasn't anyone at this point who wasn't confirmed. Like I said, Pete Hegseth was the one that I think they were going to fight the most on. And now it doesn't really seem like that's. I don't think that that's going to be an issue for them. Now, that being said, they really got over their skis and it backfired on them spectacularly. The same stuff that they were doing throughout the campaign, they decided to do during the confirmation hearings, and it just turns people off. Now there are moderate senators coming out and they're like, yeah, we think we're going to vote for Hegseth. That maybe if Democrats had played their hand differently, maybe it would have been different. But they overplayed their hand to the nth degree. So you can't be shocked. I mean, this isn't shocking. So the Washington Post, this is the other thing I wanted to talk about. They had a cartoonist who got arrested because he's a child pervert. This dude, his name is Darren Bell, D-A-R-R-I-N. He's won a Pulitzer Prize. He's a real jerk. I mean, he's drawn stuff going after Trump, going after conservatives, going after Republicans, not in a nice way either. I mean, I'm trying to just like trying to figure out the best way to put it. He's just the stuff that he draws is just crude. And I gave you guys, there's one example that's in because he's on X and he was basically saying that Republicans were groomers and parents are groomers and all this stuff. And he's done cartoons where he's called people who voted for Trump terrorists, things like that. So it's no surprise that the guy who's on staff at the Washington Post is arrested for having child porn on his computer, which is, I think these people should be put to death. I think if you're a child, and I don't buy the capital L, you know, argument that I hear from some people about these pedophiles, where it's like, oh, well, they just had videos on there. They didn't hurt anyone. No, they are you stupid? They absolutely did. There are kids that are this guy creates a revenue stream for the people who make this horrid stuff. So, yes, he's culpable. I'll put all of them to death. Pedophiles should be immediately put to death. Go ahead. Give him his little trial. Make it fast. You arrest him. You find it on their computer. I mean, come on. He's downloaded this stuff. He is part of the revenue stream that keeps these groomers doing this. Yes. Have his trial the next day. The next day, put him to death. I don't think Darren Bell's this crime of child pornography is, you are incompatible with life on earth. He shouldn't be housed in a prison paid for by taxpayers. Get rid of him. Just my thought on it. Capital punishment for pedophiles, rapists and pedophiles, capital punishment. Like, boom, no appeals. Go. I'm done with it. This is just horrific. And this guy, like, he had a cartoon of Trump groping Lady Liberty. I mean, the stuff that he has is super sexual in nature. It's weird. Like, the cartoons that he writes are very sexualized. The cartoons that he draws are very sexualized. Super far left. Yeah, and he's got, I mean, possession of child pornography. So now Darren Bell, who is in prison, he's held on $1 million bond right now. And over at the Washington Post, he drew a picture of an ICE agent about to stab a child in the neck. Yeah, that's how. So he's been arrested. Sacramento Valley Internet Crimes Against Children detectives conducted an investigation. I'm reading their statement. They got a tip from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. He had it on his computer, and he apparently uploaded. He had 18 files. And they said that a total of 134 videos they found that he owned. I'm curious, did he help make it? The videos?
Good question.
So, this is horrible. So now he's in prison. Washington Post. Great job, Washington Post. What's their slogan? Democracy dies in darkness or something like that? Yeah. So, you know how the media likes to do guilt by association? You can totally do that here.
Yep.
The Dems the rules, Kane.
That's right.
So, this pederast, the pederast post. Maybe we should just call him that instead.
Right.
The pederast post.
Yeah.
With this guy. Just horrible. They had all these staffers, they have a decline because of this, the layoffs. They had reporters leave for other outlets. I think some people are mad about Bezos owning it. They put together this like little petition signed by 400 employees where they wanted to meet with Bezos. And they want to expand, and they want him to step in. Basically, they want more money is what this is meaning. Washington Post wants more cash. And they debuted a new mission statement. So it was Democracy Dies in Darkness. Now it's riveting storytelling for all of America.
Oh, that's a few steps from journalism.
No joke. What does that have to do?
Okay.
It should be just the facts. That's what you're... mantra should be just the facts. That's it. Not riveting storytelling for all of America. They just changed their slogan like 3 years ago or 4 years ago. Now they're changing it again. Maybe everyone will forget that they had a pedophile cartoonist on staff who won awards for his work with the Washington Post. Maybe they'll maybe by changing this, people will forget. You think that'll work? Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that that's going to be the thing that does it. The media, I really don't think that the media, legacy media, and we've been saying this forever, doesn't have the influence that it used to. And I don't think that it has the reach that it used to have. And I think that includes some cable news stuff as well. I don't think that they all have the reach that they used to have. Even back like during the Tea Party days, and that was some time ago, they don't have that reach anymore. And Musk has been saying something that Andrew Breitbart said like 15 years ago, like, you are the media now, the citizen journalist. And Musk is saying it too. That's true. And it goes only so far as these entities don't have all of these suppressive algorithms cracking down on you. We're going to talk next week. We're going to have on Andrew Bailey, who's the AG of Missouri. He did something very interesting. I'm going to bring up his statement on it. He's filed suit because, you know, he's trying to do as much as he can in his position as AG to take up slack, I guess, for lack of representation or action from the current administration. And he had said that he's issuing a rule requiring big tech to guarantee algorithmic choice for social media users. Americans should control the content they consume on social media, not big tech oligarchs. Let the best algorithm win. He adds that social media companies are supposed to provide a space where users can share views, content, and ideas, like facilitating, right? He goes, instead, they've manipulated consumer social media feeds for their own purposes, exercised monopoly control over content moderation. He's invoking his authority, he writes, under consumer protection law to ensure big tech companies are transparent about the algorithms that they use and consumers and offer consumers the option to select alternatives. And he says, with this rule, Missouri becomes the first state in the nation to enshrine transparency and accountability for big tech into law at this scale. And he goes, big tech companies who run afoul of this regulation will be held accountable. And Elon Musk responded to it and said, good idea. He said that there should not be any selection chosen by default, and any option should not favor their content moderator over those of third parties. He has some rules here. This is a very interesting move, because this is, you know, following all of this debate about Section 230 of the Communications Act, Federal Communications Act. So this is an interesting, because it establishes immediately that they are not merely facilitators of discussion. They are active in editorializing by way of algorithm. Algorithm is a form of editing. And there have already been Supreme Court cases that are saying that if you're simply a facilitator, you are not responsible so long as, you know, you're doing everything you can with regards to terms of service. You're a facilitator. In fact, it was the Wolf of Wall Street and an old like message board, like back in the 90s, that formulated that case. So he's basically forcing them to redefine. Now, if they're forced to define who they are within the state of Missouri for operation, then that sets a precedent for a future 230 fight, because you cannot be an editorializing entity and not follow the same rules that newspapers follow and news organizations, et cetera, et cetera. So this is a 4D chess move. It's very interesting. We're going to be talking to him next week about this. We got to move, though. We've got headlines coming up.
And our partners for the program, new to the show, they're Preborn. It's a great organization that works with women as they determine how to handle an unexpected, unplanned pregnancy. And Preborn gives women the opportunity to meet their babies, to have an ultrasound, to hear their heartbeat. And when that happens, a child's chance at life doubles. And it's a pretty amazing thing. And when you consider that abortions are actually increasing, especially with the abortion pill, it's more usually with the abortion pill than even going into these clinics. And so that's what makes Preborn's work all the more important. And they have matching grants. So when you donate, because all of this is possible because you donate and you can start, I mean, you can save a life at just $28. They have a matching grant. So your donation goes twice as far in saving lives. And in addition to the ultrasound, you're also helping Preborn partner with these women to make sure that their babies get the best start all the way up until 2 years of life. So it's pretty amazing what they do. Your donations are what power it. And it's very simple. Dial #250, say the keyword baby, and that's how you do it. #250, keyword baby. You can also visit preborn.com/Dana and donate online. Every contribution counts. Preborn.com/Dana, #250, say the keyword baby.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently in the UK, there is a highly organized theft gang, and they are stealing portable toilets. They stole $10,000 of them in an overnight raid. Why would you need that? Of all the things to steal, and it's easy to steal them, I guess. They're all grouped up together usually. So they, police are baffled. And apparently some, like, they stole gas and piping and some other stuff. This company called Andy Lou's. They've been in the portable toilet business for over 30 years. They had like 10, all their stuff was taken. So they're trying to, that's just a weird thing. I've never heard anybody stealing that before. Jay Leno brought his own fire truck to serve food to first responders that are battling the LA fires. He said it was unbelievable. That's really nice of him. He seems like a really nice guy. My kids have this joke where they say he sends rats to everyone. I know that's not true, but it's funny, you know, the way they impersonate him. But yeah, he's 74 years old. He's been driving to relief sites in his own fire truck to feed her. It's an old vintage, like antique fire truck, so it can't actually fight fires. But he's been providing people with food. He goes to all these different sites and he gives all the volunteers food. So that's super nice for Jay Leno to do that. Let's see this. J.P. Morgan posts record annual profits as U.S. major banks thrive in the final quarter of 24. What? A Michigan boy, 12, drives nearly 100 miles in a stolen SUV. And he had a shotgun and he also had some marijuana. What he doesn't have, apparently, are parents. Where are they at? Like, how is your kid doing this and you don't know? A driver angry over high beam headlights was arrested because he rammed the car that beamed him. Sometimes people forget, show a little grace. My friend Josh Hammer, who is the editor at large at Newsweek, joins us on his new book and this Hamas deal. Stick with us.
It's our friends over at All Family Pharmacy. This is such a great service. You need to memorize the website. They make it so easy. All Family Pharmacy helped my family out a lot over Thanksgiving because, you know, right on Thanksgiving when offices are closed and you end up getting sick, it's a mess and you got to get medicine. All Family Pharmacy made it super easy. And you can visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Use code Dana and you'll get 10% off of your entire order. So this is affordable access, easy and cost effective for medicine. You don't have to break the bank to access these medicines. There's no red tape. There's no hassle. Everything's made in the USA. You're not getting Chinese antibiotics. It's not how that's working. They got a proven track record. And you work with their doctors. Their doctors get you the medication that you need. Fast delivery right to your door. You can even overnight stuff if needed. And you can rely on All Family Pharmacy to keep your health needs on track. If you need antibiotics, if you need things like hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, which is actually a good antiviral, you can get those at All Family Pharmacy. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Get 10% off of using code Dana. 10% off your purchase using code Dana10. It's Dana10 for 10% off of your entire order only at allfamilypharma.com/Dana.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
For you holding us to account, being on the receiving end, sometimes that's not always the most comfortable thing, not always the most enjoyable thing, but it is the most necessary thing in our democracy.
Your supporters in Gaza were on the receiving end of your bombs. Why did you keep the bombs flowing when we had a deal?
I'm happy to address questions.
We had a deal. Everyone in this room knows we had a deal, Tony, and you kept the bombs flowing.
I'm happy to address questions when we get a chance. Thank you.
Based order on the mantle of your business designers.
Did you want to finish?
Why did you allow my friends to be massacred? Why did you?
I'm happy to address your questions when we get to questions. Thank you. Thank you.
You helped destroy all religion, Judaism, by associating.
Yeah, I have a statement. You have a statement to make. Thank you.
The white flag before Netanyahu. You waved the white flag before Israeli fascism.
I look forward to taking questions when I get a chance to finish my statement. Thank you.
The way that they pulled this guy out of his little cubby, it's like pulling a toddler out of the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese. Like, this guy did not want to go. And they were wrestling with him. They're trying to pull him out. And he just is like dead arming it. He's not going to go quietly. That was, It's an anti-Semitic heckler who's disrupting. His dispute goes far beyond just, you know, the policies of Netanyahu. And that's what a lot of these protesters are like. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this third hour. Joining me on this issue, and he also has a new book that's coming out. Well, it's coming out March, but you can pre-order it now, and I suggest you do. My friend Josh Hammer, who is senior editor at large at Newsweek, his new book, Israel and Civilization, The Fate of the Jewish Nation and the Destiny of the West. That's a great book cover, by the way. That's like Renaissance fancy. That's like one of the nicest book covers I've ever seen. Josh, it's good to be with you. I think this is the first time you've been, first or second time you've been on with me, so it's nice to have you. Good to see you, and congrats on the book.
Dana, it's great to join you, and thank you so much for your extraordinarily kind blurb of the book. By the way, you're the first person who I think has said this is the greatest book cover you've probably ever seen, so I'll be sure to take that to the publisher. They will be very happy to hear that.
Excellent, excellent. I'm so thrilled with that. I wanted to get, because you were talking about this too, and I want to get to the book, and because that actually all dovetails into this. This, I don't want to say deal, this temporary whatever it is that they've announced with Israel and Hamas, this hostage exchange. And a lot of people, there doesn't seem to be any gray area. It's either people are excited about it or they don't like this deal. And it seems like it's the deal from May. And I would be shocked if Hamas honored any part of it. What is your take on this?
Dana, it's a bad deal. I mean, there's no point in sugarcoating it. I mean, there's no point in trying to put lipstick on a pig or anything like that there. I mean, it's maybe very slightly different than the Biden-Tony Blinken framework back in May there, insofar as the IDF does not have to completely withdraw in quote-unquote phase one. But I still, when you look at the numbers here, Israel is still getting back 33 hostages. By the way, we have no idea how many of those 33 are dead or alive. We literally could get like 20 of them in body bags. There's no way to verify that.
Didn't they refine the language to say like either living or bodies?
Yep, they absolutely did do that. And in exchange for that, 33 dead or alive, Israel's going to give up about 3,000 jihadists. Literally 3,000. I mean, what an astounding ratio. And by the way, of that 3,000, 1,000 have been arrested since October 7, 2023. 250 of them are serving life terms in Israeli prisons for being among the worst of the worst jihadists out there. You know, Dana, it's worth kind of going back a little bit here. So back in 2011, there was the infamous prisoner swap for Gilad Shalit. He was a lone Israeli soldier who was patrolling the Gaza border. He was taken captured by Hamas. This was kind of in the earlier days of Hamas's tyrannical rule in Gaza. And the pressure on Netanyahu back then, 14 years ago now, was overwhelming. And Israel ended up giving over 1,000 Palestinian Arab terrorists to get this one soldier back. Among those terrorists that Israel gave in 2011 for Gilad Shalit was a young terrorist by the name of Yahya Sinwar, who, of course, would become the mastermind of October 7, 2023. So Dana, to me, sitting here, I have to ask, at what cost to get the hostages back, even if you're giving up maybe 20, 30, God forbid, Yahya Sinwar? It's a very, very, very bad deal, I think.
And it's also, I mean, this is even a U.S. national security issue, considering, you know, the number of troops, the number of Americans that have been targeted by these that they populate these, whether it's Hamas, whether it's Hezbollah. We're talking with our friend Josh Hammer, touching on this weird deal. They said that it wasn't going to go through. Now, I guess it's back on the deal.
So it looks like as of like an hour or two ago that the deal is back on. I'll be honest with you, I was kind of hoping that the deal was going to be scuttled. I mean, whether it was Hamas pulling out or Israel, I actually was rooting for this thing to go down in flames. But as of now, it looks like it's back on the table. Yeah.
And there's 7 Americans, but only 3 living. So, and I don't even think they're on the table for the trade.
And that's actually one of the more peculiar parts of this, right? Because if the Trump and Biden administrations are both pushing so hard for this deal, wouldn't you at least make sure that you're prioritizing the retrieval of Americans? I mean, that part to me just doesn't make sense whatsoever. It seems like there was no concerted effort made. But, you know, speaking from a distinctly American perspective here, Dana, I want to make one additional point as well. What you're doing when you do deals like this is you are incentivizing the worst actors in the world, jihadists and so forth, to go ahead and seize your civilians. That's not just an Israeli problem. That is absolutely an American problem as well. So the same way that the Trump administration is very clear-eyed on the issue of the ICC, the International Criminal Court, they're going to put crippling sanctions on the ICC, God willing, come next week because of the arrest warrant that they put out for Netanyahu and his former defense minister, Yoav Gallant. The same way that Trump is clear-eyed on the ICC issue because he correctly sees Israel as being the canary in the coal mine for potential ICC arrest warrants and sanctions versus the Americans. The same way that they are clear-eyed on that, I wish that they were equally clear-eyed on this notion of incentivizing jihadists to go ahead and capture our own civilians.
Yeah, it's not like they're going to go and get a job in like McDonald's. They're going to go back into the terror networks. That's what they always do. That because these, from what I understand, a lot of the prisoners that Israel has, these are repeat offenders. I mean, the recidivism rate for a terrorist is 100%. It's not going to change. They haven't seen the light while they've been in captivity because they're terrorists.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of this new guy in Syria, al-Jilani, who, you know, a lot of people in the Western media, they're kind of fading him and saying, oh, my God, you know, this. He sounds like he's from the Harvard faculty lounge. He's speaking about DEI and diversity and religious pluralism, all that. I mean, dude was a member of ISIS. He was a member of al-Qaeda. I mean, when you go down the rabbit hole of radical Islamic jihad, you're in that rabbit hole. I mean, to be clear, there are some very rare examples, right? But those are very, very few and far between. It takes an extraordinarily rare, strong-willed person to be able to extricate yourself when you go down that utterly depraved abyss. So these people that Israel's, you know, that they're freeing in this deal, assuming that the deal is still on, which looks like it is there, yeah, I mean, probably, what, 99% of them are going to continue to be horrific jihadists for Hamas back in Gaza once they're free. It's terrible.
It's terrible. We're talking with our friend Josh Hammer with Newsweek. He's got a new book out. He also hosts his own podcast. He has his own show as well. And you can follow him over at Josh_Hammer on X. I've got to get used to saying X and not Twitter. From what I understand, so it's a it would be temporary ceasefire, which I'm sure Hamas is promptly going to break, just like they have done like in 2003 and 2004, and they did like 11,000 times in 2014. They're going to promptly break it. They're going to have all of these new terrorists. But the one thing that I understand, they don't want a permanent agreement unless they get to retain control of the land that Israel unilaterally withdrew from and gave them like a fully furnished home. They want control of it, which I don't know how anyone in the civilized world can look at what has happened since they were elected into power by Gazans and say, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's keep them there. I can't imagine the Trump administration agreeing to back or even Netanyahu agreeing to anything like that.
Yeah, so it's probably worth just kind of going back over some of the over the recent history of Gaza, right? So this is actually a good time to mention my book again, because it's all in my book as well, yeah. Israel and Civilization, The Fate of the Jewish Nation, The Destiny of the West. It's all right there in chapter 6, I believe. So Israel withdraws from Gaza in 2005. So there promptly ensues a very bloody, vicious Palestinian-Arab civil war. They're literally throwing each other off of rooftops. Hamas takes power 2 years later in 2007. From 2007, Dana, to October 7, 2023, that was a two-state solution. The people that are now chanting from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free, they're saying, you know, get Israel out of the West Bank, aka Judea and Samaria, get them out of Gaza. Well, they're not really in Gaza right now. But, I mean, they had their two-state solution. Literally, the culmination of the last iteration of the two-state solution was the pogrom on October 7th. That is what the so-called two-state solution looks like in practice. And, you know, it was either Pete Hegseth or Marco Rubio. I forgot exactly who said it. I think it was Marco Rubio at his confirmation hearing just yesterday. But he said that no civilized country in the world can possibly live with these barbaric human beings sitting at their border. I mean, think about what would happen, Dana, if the Mexican cartels were to do that on an equivalent level and magnitude there in South Texas, on the Rio Grande, on the High Sonoran Desert in Arizona. I mean, 1,200 Israelis killed. Israel's a fraction of the size of the United States. That's translated to like 45 to 50,000 Americans based on some quick back of the envelope math there. Could you imagine if the Sinaloa cartel just started chopping off Arizonans and Texans' heads? I mean, what the heck would we do? We would be in northern Mexico until they were gone. Yeah. We would be there indefinitely if need be.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a very good point. And we would have every right to, because we're protecting our own. We're protecting our not just our sovereignty, but the lives of our citizens, which is why I'm like amazed, you know, when I read some of these media accounts and they get it from, you know, some whatever ministry of whatever in Gaza. That's Hamas. Like, they run every single aspect, like the CCP does in China. They run absolutely everything, even the messaging from the hospitals, which is why they'd like to wildly inflate their casualties from the conflict that they cause. Last quick question on this deal, who's responsible for it? Who got it this far? Because Netanyahu only mentioned Trump in a post on X, and Corinne Jean-Pierre said yesterday, oh, it was Biden did it.
So it's probably a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, but if we're being very candid here, it seems like Steve Witkoff really is the number one guy who got this deal across the table. So Steve Witkoff is Donald Trump's incoming Middle East special envoy. He's basically playing Jared Kushner this time around. Yeah. It was the Kushner role last time. It seems like Steve Witkoff was the guy who got this deal done. And
is Witkoff was the guy at the podium, right, when Trump kind of stepped in and was like, now, look, I don't want to undermine your negotiations, but all hell's going to break loose if these hostages. That's OK. Just so everybody knows, that's Steve Witkoff.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, Witkoff was also on television, I think it was on Fox News the other night, saying God bless the Qataris for the work that they've done as part of this negotiation. I can't bring myself to say God bless the Qataris. Yeah, that seems a little extreme for my taste. Look, I think the hope is that despite this deal, that when Hamas inevitably breaches it, as you correctly say that they will, that Israel just goes back in and finishes the job. I think what's actually going on here, Dana, if we're being very honest, I think Donald Trump wants to come in Inauguration Day on Monday with a hostage-freeing optic moment. He wants a Ronald Reagan 1980 moment. Yes. Jimmy Carter had the hostage crisis in Tehran. Ronald Reagan comes in day one, 1980. All the hostages are freed. I think that's the kind of optical thing that Donald Trump wants to begin his second term in office. It's a pretty good photo op, frankly. I don't blame him. I just kind of ask at what cost. But as long as the IDF is able to ultimately go back in and finish the job, because let's be very clear, if the IDF does not finish the job against Hamas in Gaza, Israel will have lost this war. That was their war aim, and they have to achieve that war aim. So as long as they can do that, then this deal, as much as it stinks, I think is ultimately tolerable. I don't like it, but if the IDF can go back in and get the job done, it's probably tolerable. Again, I don't like it, but that's probably the nicest thing it can possibly say.
And I think to your point, the change in the administration coming up next week is going to make it a little bit easier for them in terms of the tenor and the pressure internationally, because it seems like, you know, we got a new administration and everyone's kind of, you know, putting themselves on different footing to accommodate that. So that's going to go in IDF support for that. So that'll be, well, it's something to watch. Josh Hammer, congrats on the book again, Israel and Civilization, The Fate of the Jewish Nation and the Destiny of the West. We'll have you back on as it gets closer to launch, because I know it comes out in March. Pre-orders are out there now. Amazon, Books a Million, Barnes & Noble. But congrats and appreciate all that you do. Thanks, my friend. Good to talk with you.
And I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
During Marco Rubio's hearing, he said something that really should send chills down everyone's spine. Audio soundbite 23. He was, as Secretary of State, as a nominee, he's talking about China. Listen to this.
If we stay on the road we're on right now, in less than 10 years, virtually everything that matters to us in life will depend on whether China will allow us to have it or not. Everything from the blood pressure medicine we take to what movies we get to watch and everything in between, we will depend on China for it. They have come to dominate the critical mineral industry supplies throughout the world. Everywhere in the world, they've now established critical mineral rights. Even those who want to see more electric cars, no matter where you make them, those batteries are almost entirely dependent on the ability of the Chinese and the willingness of the Chinese Communist Party to produce it and export it to you. So if we don't change course, we are going to live in a world where much of what matters to us on a daily basis, from our security to our health, will be dependent on whether the Chinese allow us to have it or not. That's an unacceptable outcome.
And it's not just him who's issuing this warning. The nominee for Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent. Listen to this. Audio soundbite 29.
About the legislation that was written in this room that was the biggest transformation on clean energy in American history. That is our package that basically said the tax code as it relates to energy is a broken down mess. And we basically said we're going to have a technology neutral system. The more you reduce carbon, the bigger your tax savings. Now there is a big effort in the Trump administration to reverse it. I think that's going to be bad for the economy, but it is going to be damn good for China, because we are in an arms race on clean energy with them. Are you going to be on the side of people who want to unravel this?
Senator, Senator Wyden. Just so we can frame this for everyone in the room, China will build 100 new coal plants this year. There is not a clean energy race. There is an energy race. Mm. China will.
It's not a clean energy race. It's an energy race. They get it. Today in Stupidity, Kane, what's we got?
Oh, boy, our old Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen.
Oh, yeah.
She should have done more yelling, now that I think about it. She says that, hey, things are good, guys. Check it out.
Oh, listen. Yeah.
Now, when I look at the data, what it tells me is that wages also increased. Oh. And according to our calculations, the typical wage earner is able to afford now the same basket of goods and services as back before the pandemic.
Oh, my gosh.
With $1,600 left over to save or spend.
I don't hit women, but I understand. I understand.
And that does it for us today, folks. Make sure you go sign up at Substack. We've got Chapter and Verse. That's the newsletter for the show. Lots of good stuff out there. Find us on YouTube and Facebook. Like and subscribe. We got all those little short videos. If you have a shorter attention span, the longer ones. And of course, you can find us all over social media. I'll be back behind the mic tomorrow. God bless. Have a great night.